I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And Father, we just want to love you more, Lord. We want to love your word more. We want to recognize that it is truth, really the only truth there is.
Hallelujah.
Your eternal word, which will never pass away. And so, Lord, help us to listen to your word and to follow your word. And if we're ever against your word, we know we're on the wrong side of things. And so give us guidance now and help us to pattern our lives after your word, our decisions, our prayers, based on scripture, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, we're going to look at another dialogue today. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. Last week, of course, you remember we had the dialogue between Adam and Eve and God asking them those questions. I'm wondering if you remembered those questions. What was the first question he asked?
Where are you?
Did you sense that at all this week in your 7 days since we were here of God saying, where are you? Or did you ponder that question at all, where you really are spiritually? And then the next one was what? Not to listen to voices other than him. As he said, who told you you were naked? And of course it was Satan, it wasn't God. And so we want to be listening to him, don't we? Well, today we go one more chapter. We go to the next generation of Cain and Abel. And of course we know we have the first murder in the Bible recorded here. And let's look at the dialogue here. We'll begin reading verse 3 of Genesis chapter 4. And in the process, well, let's just begin with verse 1 of chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. Cain, by the way, was apparently a strong man, a healthy child named begotten. That's what Cain means. And so Eve, after hearing the prophetic statement that a seed would be raised up, I think she thought that was the seed, her very next, her very first child that we see here, begotten. And she said, I have acquired or begotten a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time it was Abel. Abel means frail and weakly. Maybe sin had already started to take its mark in the race, I don't know. But so Cain was a strong tiller of the ground, the firstborn. Abel, the secondborn, was a weak man. He was a keeper of the sheep. Now just get this in mind here, if you would, as we get into this passage, because Cain is used to having his way, I would think, with his weaker, smaller brother. He's used to thinking, I'm the firstborn. Because the firstborn, even from the very beginning, had a preferential position over the others. And notice now, as we get into this, how it must have been a shock to him that God is going to reject his offering and is going to accept his weak younger brother's offering. Just think of what that's doing to his pride now as we follow this through. Then Eve bore again, this time it was his brother frail. Now frail was a keeper of the sheep, but begotten was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that begotten brought an offering of fruit of the ground of the Lord. So she bore again, this time it was Abel. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. So that tells us really pretty much the whole story right there already. Abel came in a humble way. Abel was offering a blood offering, which already blood was the thing. Remember last time we had where the Lord already had put tunics of skin on Adam and Eve. But Cain apparently is bringing something that he's really proud of. It's something that he did. Here's what I've grown. But when the Lord respected Abel and his offering, and he did not respect Cain and his offering, what happened? Cain was very angry. Where does anger begin? It usually begins with pride being hurt, right? And what's the process from there? Pride, anger, sin, hatred, more hatred, bitterness, eventually ending up in murder frequently. We have about 500,000 murders a year in the world estimated right now. Interesting to me that the top five countries, or most of them right here in Central America, with Honduras number one and El Salvador number two and so forth on a per capita basis. Most of the nations in Africa have very high murder rates. But we see here, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? Now here's the choice. We want to note this well in verse 7. This is a choice that we see here for all of us. Now notice, Cain is not in a good place right now with the Lord. He's blaming the Lord for rejecting his offering. He's blaming the Lord for accepting Abel's offering. But he has a choice. Here's the choice. God says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. I believe if you do well, what he's telling him, if you would humble yourself and present the right offering, all would be forgiven. But Cain's not about to do that. Cain is obstinate, and he's turning it to anger, and we'll see what happens here. So that's a choice we have. If you're going to do well, you need to do it the Lord's way. And he will accept it. He will never turn somebody who is seeking him with the right motives and in the right way, he will never turn them away, right? Never. You always have access to the Lord. You always will be accepted if you approach him in his way. That's the whole thing of repentance, isn't it? That's the whole thing of humility. But what's the other choice? If you do not do well, then what happens? Sin is lying at the door, crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. Sin desires, Satan desires to destroy you. But you should what? Rule over it. If you should rule over it, what does that imply? It means that you have control over your own sin, right? You're not forced to sin, you're sinning willingly. Particularly saved people are sinning willingly. They're not slaves to sin anymore, but they do sin. We're sinning in these bodies. So here's the choice, do well or don't do well. That's your choice. Cain chose to do wrong. God mercifully is reminding him here, even though he catches him in his anger, this is a good time to turn away from your anger. But he doesn't do it. What does he do in verse 8? He goes out in the field and kills Abel. That's certainly not doing right, is it? That's doing wrong, obviously. Now, in verse 9, the Lord asks Cain another question. Where is Abel, your brother? Now, notice here the response. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Isn't that the way of sin? You don't care about the person who you're mad at. You just as soon they disappeared. You just as soon they broke their neck. You just as soon a tree fell on them or whatever. Right? Isn't that the way we are? And so the Lord says to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And God says again, now here's another question. God knows the answer, but he's asking the question on the benefit of the respondent. He's saying what? God said, where is Abel, your brother? What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. We have the bloodline all the way through the scriptures, from the very beginning of Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation, don't we? Without without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so we have the blood of the slain Abel crying out to me from the ground, God says. I know what you have done. I know where your brother is. I know as his blood is crying out, but yet he says, where is your brother and what have you done? Again, it would seem a chance for Cain to repent and turn to the Lord. But God says, consequences, you're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on earth. And so Cain does not repent at all, but he just pouts and says, your punishment is worse than I can bear. Surely you've driven me out this day. It's your fault, God. You've driven me out from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it shall happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Lord, it's all your fault. And they're going to do me in. But now notice the mercy and the grace of the Lord here. The Lord said to him, here's this guy, unrepentant, who's done nothing but wrong, but he gives mercy. He says, I'll protect you. Whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. And what's the final result then? Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. What is hell? It's eternally being apart from the presence of the Lord, right? And so here we see Cain's hell, in effect, even beginning here on earth, because he's went out from the presence of the Lord. So what does this mean to us? Well, if you can think of people you just as soon do in, or just as soon they disappeared from the face of the earth, you might check yourself, because that can very easily lead to more hatred. It all begins in our pride. That's the problem we all have. There's no fleshly one that's not free from that, is there? But God said you can rule over it. Sin's desire is for you, but you can rule over it. And it basically begins with pride. And then it goes to anger. Then it goes to hatred. And if you let that run with you, then, as James says, it comes into full birth and, or it comes into full bloom and gives birth to death. You'll find yourself doing things you never dreamed you could do, if that gets a hold of you, right? So that's the second dialogue here this morning. And may we be very mindful to be in a repentant and a humble mode as the Lord speaks to us. And may we check our anger quickly as we sense its presence. So let us go to prayer now, and we have a lot to pray for. There's a lot of hatred in the world. There's a lot of anger in the world. There's a lot of hatred and anger right here in our own families. It's just amazing to me. I got a memorial service this morning. You can keep me in prayer on that. But many of the memorials that are done, there's such division in the families that they haven't spoken to each other for years. That's in the biological families. And many times through these memorial services, there is a reconciliation, and people do come together. But then you know how many times during the estate settlement that the anger flares back up again, and you get brother against brother and sister against sister because they don't like their share or whatever, you know. So we need to pray for love, don't we? That's the antidote to all of this hatred. And pray for the church, pray for our missionaries, pray for our pastors. Pray for the outreach coming up tomorrow, and as you're led to pray and intercede for the body of Christ. So let us pray.